And that's the part I think I love the most about this job, is you get to work with people in all different realms of Daktronix. And it's not just benefiting them here at Daktronix. This is going home with them.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronix Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner, here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Joel DeBoer, Albert Patan, and Scott Peterson from the Daktronix Safety Team to talk about safety at the company, from the manufacturing floor to installation sites around the globe. These guys talk about some OSHA regulations, how they make presentations fun and interesting, and how they have seen safety change firsthand. All right, we're here today with Joel, Albert, and Scott from our safety team. How you guys doing?
Great.
Wonderful.
All right, guys, we're bringing you on today to talk a little bit about safety at Daktronix. Tell us a little bit of what it's like being in the safety department here at DAC.
You know, safety at Daktronix, that's a pretty good job. You know, you get to thinking about all the things that we get to do, all the people that we get to work with. It's not just in manufacturing, but it's all over Daktronix. And we get to work with nice guys like you.
Oh, gee, stop, Joel. I was told that that sometimes you get a bad reputation, and you like to let everyone know that you guys aren't the bad guys, and you just want everyone to be safe.
You know, there's truth to that. I think years ago, anybody that was in safety would get a bad rap. And, of course, sometimes the safety guys brought that on themselves because they wanted to walk around with a big hammer, and they didn't always necessarily want to work well with people.
Like Scott?
Yeah,
like
walk around with a ruler ready to slap somebody if they did something wrong.
So we've worked hard at that here at Daktronix to try and change that culture, because really safety is all about selling it. When you think about it, people come in, they want to do their jobs, and they're always focused on productivity. Get it done as fast as you can, get it out the door, and they think that's how they're going to be rated and based on, right? They're looking at that. How good are they? But when you look at safety, the importance of that, when you can help them understand that they're coming in, that as a company, we want them to go home in the very same shape. Come in, yes, be productive. Yeah, do quality work. But more importantly, come in and do your job safely so you can go home to your family in the same condition you showed up.
That sounds like a good goal. I think everybody would say that about their jobs. They want to be able to go home in the same condition that they showed up.
And, you know, when we look at safety at Daktronix, everybody has a responsibility for safety. If we are not doing the job safely, we're not following work processes, we're not following procedures, there's a potential that an injury could happen. And when you look at safety, the progression of safety in industry, when OSHA was formed in 1970, safety was looked at as a complete enforcement-based program. You will do what I tell you to do. No questions asked, period. And as we've seen safety progress throughout the years in the United States, you can kind of take the analogy of baby crawling. The baby crawling is that first, you got to do it, and you got to do it no matter what. To now where we look at safety is everybody needs to be a part of the program, everybody needs to have a role in it, and everybody needs to understand why they are doing that particular process and procedure. So you can kind of use the analogy, we're now walking, and we're really, safety is a behavior. And we have great examples every day in what we do in life. A behavior would be going to the gas station and filling up your car.
Yep.
Probably don't want to be standing there smoking a cigarette.
Or probably leaving the car running.
Yeah, probably not smart.
Yeah, that's a behavior. Nobody's there standing over them telling them, hey, shut your car off, knucklehead. But as they understand the role that, hey, if they keep that car running or they're sitting there smoking, there's a possibility they're going to be catching themselves on fire, and probably don't want that to happen. So safety really is a behavior-based focus, and you need to have that involvement from everyone. So I think that's what I really like of Daktronix, is we want people to be involved. We want them to understand why those roles are important for them. And we see ourselves, you know, Joel, Scott, the rest of our safety team, as being a resource to help them understand those responsibilities.
Yeah, I never thought of it as like a behavioral psychology type of thing where if you're doing something repeatedly and that's how you kind of learn to do that. I mean, we learn growing up when we're kids, don't run with scissors. Mm-hmm. Stay away from the stairs when you're goofing around. You don't want to fall down the stairs. Something simple like that, that we all kind of realize as adults now, we learned that as we were growing. And mm-hmm. it's really no different when it comes to the yes. safety is what Albert's saying there.
Absolutely.
And I was just thinking about, you know, when you think about safety, especially at a manufacturing company like Daktronix, it goes beyond just manufacturing, right? I mean, that's where my mind would always go to because you have people operating heavy equipment. I mean, you got steel, you have heavy objects going around making sure everyone has, you know, protective eyewear, the right shoe wear. But I don't know if one of you could talk a little bit about how it isn't just manufacturing. Like, how does that apply into, you know, we have a lot of office settings here at Daktronix too, so it's not just about the labor that's happening like down on the manufacturing floor.
So what we'll kind of explain is, you know, we kind of look at safety. It's a three-headed monster at Daktronix. We have the manufacturing.
A nice monster.
Very nice monster. It's actually very cuddly. But we have a three-tiered approach. We have our manufacturing, which we look at compliance with safety requirements and obligations. But we also have the international focus. So we have all new sets of regulations, rules, and work practices that we need to understand. But then we also have the construction management and the field service. So I'm going to let Scotty talk a little bit about construction management field service, and we'll kind of wrap back around to what we have to look at from a factory standpoint as well as an office setting.
Okay, Scott, work your way over to the mic here. We've been anticipating this moment since we started.
I'm so excited right now.
I do not believe you on that. You know, when we look at construction management, the installation portion of what we do, it's making sure our guys are on site and they're doing their work safely. They're following the rules of the site and of OSHA and of Daktronix and to make sure they go home safely. We kind of forget about them when, you know, they're out doing installs and sometimes, you know, they run into situations where they need our help. So, you know, we try to be a resource for them. You know, the guys are out there every single day driving up and down the highways. You know, they're in our vans. They're making travel arrangements, stuff like that. They're flying around the country. Are they watching for the hurricane? You know, are they flying into Florida? Oh, you know, did I forget? Mm-hmm. There's a hurricane there. You know, how do you forget that, right? So, you know, we want to make sure that we're covering everyone. And the other side that, you know, of that is also here is non-manufacturing. You know, Albert mentioned we have the manufacturing, we have the other stuff. You also have 1,200-ish people here in non-manufacturing who we have to monitor as well for slips, strips, falls, cuts, lacerations, you know, anything like that. So
that's a very good point, though, Scott. I didn't even, you know, thinking about out in the field. I know my interaction with you guys is usually a lot when it comes to our sales interns and things, and I know they go on the road and they help out with demos and trade shows, but I never even thought of safety just even from the aspect of us installing displays somewhere, like what has to happen outside of just, you know, the Daktronix campus or our facility. So that's good to hear.
And don't take that lightly. Matt's kind of stingy with his compliments these days. So
I don't know if you can see, I was cringing as I said it, so it was hard to make eye contact with Scott while I was saying it.
So I want to come back to another point that Albert made. He said it's global as well. It's not just within the facilities that we have in the United States. It's everywhere. And how do we work internationally to make sure everything's safe in all of our plants?
When we look at safety internationally, it's very risk-based. In the United States, we're very code-driven. You have 1910, not to get too nerdy here, which is general industry standards.
I'm taking notes, yep.
Too late.
Here we go.
This is pretty typical. Then we have 1926, which is construction. Yep. So we have very specific standards that apply to us. Internationally, it's very risk-based. They have their standards and codes that look at both from a construction management to a employee personnel, single employees working in an office by themselves. There are specific standards that countries have, such as the UK, that you have to do a risk assessment, so it's very risk-based. But there's also codes that have to apply. But when we look at safety, a lot of the general rules and practices are all the same. The general principle is we don't want somebody to get hurt. So if we're working on a structure and there's a fall hazard, how do we fix that hazard? Well, we wear fall protection. You'll see that commonality across all of our countries. The difference is when you look at United States, fall protection could be a primary source of protection. If we're working on a structure and there is a fall hazard, we immediately go to wear fall protection. In our European-based countries, such as UK, Ireland, they're going to require you to try to engineer out the hazard. Can we use railings? Can we use a scaffold system? Can we use some other type of structure to eliminate that exposure? Then once you're done, if you can't do that, then we can roll back and say, okay, now we're going to use fall protection in conjunction with those other controls. So it's a little bit different, but the general practice is we got to understand what the standards are. We got to understand how those standards apply to Daktronics and our people and the work that we're doing. And then how do we successfully educate our employees on those particular risks and implement controls to reduce them? We're very fortunate as an organization that we have two individuals right now that are handling our safety and health compliance requirements internationally. Rebecca Thatcher is based out of our Sydney, Australia office. She helps out that office with risk assessments, method statements, and safety compliance for our projects that are going on in Australia, New Zealand, in that particular area. And we have Shelley Gavin, who is our HR safety representative for our Ireland manufacturing facility. And she handles safety and employee engagement and hazard mitigation for those folks. See, I didn't get too bad on codes. See, I didn't tell you to turn to page 394. You know, it's good.
I had Google up there and ready to go if you kept going down that path, but I think I'm okay now. No, so that's, I didn't even know half of that. So, I mean, it's one of those things I didn't doubt that we had something safety going on internationally, but that's very interesting, even just to hear about the fall protection versus permanent methods almost before that. So,
yep.
How about when it comes to the office setting then? So we have been kind of talking about the installation and all that. I know Scott's been doing some presentations. I mean, there's things that pop in your mind that may just be when there's a tornado, what do? An alert. So I don't know if you can speak to kind of how does it involve non-manufacturing employees here?
Yeah, so when we look at any type of emergency, we would call those, you know, something we want to make sure everyone is understanding that what's going on, right? Whether it's a fire, whether it's a tornado, like you said, how do we get the word out? How do we make sure, right, everyone is in different buildings, they're in different parts of the factory? We have to let them know ASAP. And it might be an active shooter. It might be a, you know, like we said, a weather event. When I first started, there was some bomb threat things that we dealt with. And so those kind of things, you know, it everything ratchets up as they get a little more intense, if you will. And so we try to get the word out, get the information out, and get people warned as fast as we can in order to try to make it safer.
And those are some of the unfortunate things that you even have to think about, right?
Yeah,
most
absolutely.
Of the time it's like, I'm just going to come to work, I'm going to do my role in marketing, and then I'm going to go home. But there's weather, there's unexpected things that pop up that very unfortunate that we have to even worry about. But we've got a safety team there thinking about that for us.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where Joel, Albert, Nick, and I will be texting each other at 1, 2 in the morning because there's a storm coming. Do we have night shift out of there? Are they watching? You know, this thing could go to tornado warning. Are they ready? We're working with the guys in the plant in the middle of the night to make sure they're ready to go down to shelter or something like that.
I was going to say, there's definitely a lot of that this past winter with all the intense cold temperatures we had and blizzards coming through. I remember getting a lot of even just automated phone calls. So it was even when I wasn't even here at Daktronics, but hearing, you know, we went to like a different level or something because a blizzard was hitting.
And with that, the Everbridge system, the mass notification system, you know, Albert was very instrumental in getting that put in place. And with that, you know, we can be very quick with a response, you know, and it's good for us to, when we get to do the trainings on this stuff, whether it's spring weather or summer weather or winter weather. Or if you're looking at violent shooter, I get pretty passionate when we start doing that training. Like you said, that's one I hate that we have to do, but
right.
We try to put as much into it and bring it from the soul as much as we can because it's super important for people to understand what to do and when.
Yeah, I remember when you were giving that, I think first overall to the company, but then I think we do it for every intern group when they start, but it's hard to be lighthearted about subjects like that, but I remember you did do a really good job. I did it twice. Did you know the compliment was coming? Is that why you're shaking your head?
No. I knew this type of story was coming, and I was just kind of waiting for you to pull it out of him.
Because it was just one of those, it's a topic, and you had mentioned right away, I mean, the job is hard for you to present to everybody about a topic like that. And is this the red flag one?
Yep.
Yeah. You had, at one point, you had mentioned if you know, if you're starting to see something, raise a red flag. What is a red flag? Make sure you let somebody know if you see someone, you know, behaving a certain way. And then you went on to tell a story about how you got to be a pretend active shooter for a different company in Minnesota. And a friend of yours had asked if you wanted to be that. And you said yes, or like, hell yes, I do. And I said, I was in the back of the room and I yelled, red flag, red flag. In the
back. That's just a testament to how fun you actually made such a somber subject of training. Oh, yeah.
I can be maybe 75% honest with you when I say it was really more for research purposes I wanted to do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
75%, we'll take that.
Yeah. But no, but that's just a different way of saying there's information you have to get across to people and hope that they remember it. And I think, I mean, you guys all do a great job of doing that, and not such a boring, just straight up, here, read this, that's what you got to do. Like you were saying at the beginning, Albert, about safety used to just be, do this, we told you so, do it.
Yep. And that's what I really enjoy working with these guys and everybody on our staff, with Nick Castillo and Shelley and Beck, Jim Nelson down in Sioux Falls, and Doug Dames in Redwood Falls, is we're all passionate and we all understand that the dynamics of presenting training has to be in that engagement of those employees. If we don't have them engaged, if they don't see and understand why it's important to them, we're just talking to a wall, and we're not really helping anybody educate them. We're not giving them the foundations to make them successful. And one of the cooler things that we've done as a team, they might not think it's cool, so we'll see, is we did an OSHA 10-hour for our apprenticeship program through the Brookings High School system last year. So we can throw a high school instructor on to Joel and Scott and Nick as well, and that same foundations apply with those students. If they understand the roles and the responsibilities of why they need to know this stuff, they were awesome as students. They were engaged. They were asking questions. And it's really cool as an instructor to actually see that participation and buy-in versus the old days of safety training where you got somebody sleeping in the back corner and you got to wake them up after the class is over.
So there's a new certification they got from this?
Yeah, they actually received an OSHA 10-hour certification as part of the class.
Have you updated your LinkedIn profile yet, Scott?
He just laughs. I'm going to take that as a no. So Albert threw out a lot of different names there. What's the exact makeup of your group? How many employees do you have on the safety team, so to speak?
So really, not to get too corny here, we have the entire Daktronics population workforce as part of our safety staff, because everybody needs to be engaged and needs to be involved in
touché,
safety.
Touché.
Yes, there you go. There you go.
A very well put answer.
Tying it back to all of us being involved. But we have certain dedicated individuals. Of course, Joel DeBoer. Joel handles, from a manufacturing standpoint, he is our safety contact for live events, factory, and high school park and rec. And of course, Joel, everybody knows Joel.
Otherwise known as 025. And can you tell them why, Joel?
It seems like at every one of our trainings or anytime we're introduced, everybody has to bring up that 025 has been here 42 years. And then they tie in a number of other jokes along with it. But we have some fun with it. It's a nice lead in for our trainings.
I want to say 025 is an employee number.
That is correct.
So just for clarification, mine's 11727.
Yeah, mine's 11050. Oh, yeah, I don't even know what they're at now, because that was mine, and I've been here for 12 and a half years.
We did pass the 20,000 mark.
Yes. Our new hires are now in the 20,000s.
Yeah, Al actually came and shook her hand. We took pictures. We did a whole little marketing thing on it. It was nice.
Now, unfortunately, Joel thinks the 025 is like his 007 identification, so it's licensed to do I don't know what. But
he doesn't have to run anything by anyone. He just does.
That's what he thinks. Then we have Scott Peterson, and like Scott already mentioned, he handles our non-manufacturing staff here, also our construction management, both field service and project management installation, and I'm getting him involved in our international field service and project management, getting in some opportunities there. We have Jim Nelson, who is our safety representative both for services and Sioux Falls Manufacturing. We have Doug Dames, who is in our Redwood Falls facility. He kind of does facilities work as well as safety and health elements for our Redwood Falls factory. Then, like I mentioned, we have Shelly Gavin, who is part-time HR, part-time safety for our Ireland manufacturing facility. And then we have Rebecca Thatcher, who handles for our Australia. And then we have Nick Castillo, who handles safety for our transportation business unit and electronic assembly here on Brookings campus. And then you're all stuck with me at helping these guys out and gals out with their work.
I'm impressed. That was no script, just straight up off the top of his head, listing everybody and exactly what they do. Like, he's on his game today.
I had some caffeine before I came.
With safety regulations, you mentioned, you know, you did this certification already at the high school, I think. Mm-hmm. You said. How hard is it to stay on top of that? Are safety regulations changing very often? Like, how do you make sure that you're all, you know, up to date on whatever the new, I wouldn't say trends are, but practices maybe?
So I try not to bring us down the proverbial rabbit hole, because we'd like to finish up before 7 o'clock tonight. Which would probably be a benefit to all of us.
Is this why Joel and Scott were grimacing while I was asking this question?
Pretty much. You ask me the code regulation stuff, you get stuck with me. And
Here we go.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. Take an intermission break. No. So we are very fortunate to have certified trainers on our staff. Both Joel DeBoer is a certified instructor for the OSHA 10-hour and 30-hour for general industry. Remember drinking question, what's the code standard for it? 1910.
Yep.
But then Scott Peterson is certified trainer for construction industry under 1926.
I was going to say 1926. You cut me off.
Come on. You got to be quicker.
He was ready for the answer.
I remember you said 1910 and 1926, yep. So I knew there was one left.
50-50. Of course, yeah. He's ready for that.
But with that, every 5 years, they have to have a recertification that trains them on all the new standards. But every year, we also have to be aware of what those new standards are and how they apply to us as an organization. And then also with doing that, anytime you're a certified instructor, you also have to teach one class per year. So at Daktronics, we teach a general industry class, 1 to 3 sessions a year, for either one here in Brookings, or we do what we call a roadshow. We'll bring it here in Brookings. Joel and I will then go to Sioux Falls and then Redwood Falls and train them on the general industry standard. And then Scott will actually do a construction management OSHA 30-hour for our project managers and installation supervisors, and that's offered once a year. And so to keep up on these standards, what we see from OSHA, there isn't a lot of new standards lately. But we still have to be aware of what those standards are. We have to do a lot of research on our own as an organization to see how those standards apply to us as a company and how we implement those standards to make sure that we're in compliance. But more importantly, is to make sure our employees are safe from any of these particular recognized hazards.
A silly question here, and I know Justin's probably going to make fun of me for it, but what does OSHA stand for?
Oh.
Wisconsin.
What's that?
It's a town in Wisconsin.
He said it's a town in Wisconsin?
Why is it on all caps here in my outline? Do you know? You know?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
I was trying to think of a very good funny joke there, but I couldn't quite get it out at the same time. OSHA, Occupational Safety Health Administration, under the Department of Labor, formed in 1969, signed into law by Richard Nixon under the OSHA Act. Now also another town in Wisconsin, and was implemented into law in 1970.
That sounds way too official for Matt to remember.
All you had to say was you didn't know.
Now, OSHA on the shop floor means, oh, shoot, here's Albert.
Not shoot. Joel gave the PG description there.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that very much for our listeners' sake.
How long have you been in safety? Where I'm going with this is kind of what is the biggest change you've probably seen, and this could be for any one of you three, since when you started versus how it's handled now? What's changed the most?
So I'll start, and then I'll pass it off to these two fine gentlemen. Oh. And they did not have to pay me to say that. So the biggest change is I've been in the safety field now for a little over 20 years, and my degree from the University of Arizona, go Wildcats, was in industrial hygiene and environmental sciences. And the focus on safety at that point was very much rule-based. This is the rule. this is what you need to do to meet the rule. It wasn't as much behavioral based. And as we've seen safety migrate and we've seen how safety, the approach to safety has changed, we've seen that look more at an educational basis. So, like I said, Cree was in a safety-related, environmental-related field. I worked for our OSHA consultation program housed at South Dakota State University, go Jacks, in the College of Engineering. And so I was there for 15 years, and we could even see that change in my time with OSHA of how we were handling the standards. When I started at OSHA in consultation, it was still that we wanted to work with employers to help them understand the standards. But it's still, if you don't fix your stuff, you're out of compliance. To by the time I actually left the agency, it was more behavioral based. What can we do to help improve your safety management system? Like Joel was saying, what can we do to help sell safety that you as a management team understand the importance, but all of your employees also understand the importance? So that was a huge change that I've seen through my times of being in safety. Now, Joel, what's your perspective?
So after being in production, when a position opened up, there was just one other person in safety. So then now there were two of us. And it was very enjoyable to get into that. But having manufacturing background, I did not understand how big safety was. As we've already discussed here today, it's out in the field. It's in non-manufacturing. It's everywhere you go. But it's really more than just at Daktronix. This safety thing goes home with you. And that's the part I think I love the most about this job, is you get to work with people in all different realms of Daktronix. And it's not just benefiting them here at Daktronix. This is going home with them. So that is an enjoyable part of this job.
Last but not least, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What changes have you seen?
I've been at Daktronix for 13 years, but in safety for six. And I came from a farming background when I came here. Not a lot of OSHA volunteering there.
No 1910s or 1926s?
1926, no, there's not a 19 farming, there's nothing. There's probably some rules that apply, but we obviously didn't use them. So when I came here, it was very much, yeah, safety, okay, wear your safety glasses. You know, oh, you need hard-toed shoes, okay, great. But like Joel said, there were times when it was, we have to get this done, right? We're on a deadline. We're gonna fudge a little here, right? We're gonna make this happen, and so in that time frame, you know, I think there's been a lot bigger emphasis in the factories and in non-manufacturing to comply, be in compliance, to follow the rules, and make sure that we are sending people home in good condition and not getting people hurt. So
I was thinking my first probably encounters with the safety team when I started off as an intern. Justin loves me telling my old intern story, so get ready for another one.
He's being facetious.
So I can't say that word either. So we're getting ready to go swap out some modules for a service project in San Diego for the Shamu displays to go around the whale tank. And it found out, they said, okay, you're going to be leaving in like, I think it was like 2 weeks after I had started, so January-ish. But I was going to be on scaffolding, so I had to go through a lot of scaffolding training here to get certified for that. So it was one of those, they trained us, you know, on how to do loading up the truck, everything had to do with weigh stations to go out there. And then it was the, I can't remember if it was any of you who were involved at the time, but it was, oh, you're going to be on scaffolding? All right, well, now you got to come over here at this day, at this time, and we got to hook you up, show you how to do all this and get you certified for it. So I think that's kind of one of my first exposures to the safety group was, I came in thinking it was just the truck driving part of the internship, but then all of a sudden it was, what are you doing out in the field when you're not here? All right, we need to make sure you're going to be safe while you're doing that.
That's the one thing that I really find it so cool with this organization is the organizational structure supports safety. They want to see things done safely. They care about our employees, and they provide the resources to help us achieve those goals. And not every company is going to be as fulfilling for safety as we are at Daktronix. And that really goes back to that organizational structure and how, as a company, we have set safety as a priority, which is so awesome. My days at OSHA consultation, not every company is like that. And it is wonderful to see.
And I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball in here because I know it's not even just for our employees, but it's even for visitors that come too. There's certain things that we want to make sure anybody that comes and visit us stays safe while they're here. I have an example from when a show called Small Town Big Deal brought some people on site, and they wanted to actually work on the line and be filmed working on the line for their show. And we took it very seriously because we want everybody to stay safe, especially somebody else that's a visitor that's coming in. They went through their safety training before they were allowed to step on the line and actually handle product and do a little bit of work for their show, just to make sure we're in compliance. We're doing everything we can to make sure that they get to leave with all their fingers and toes too, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my own little story there, Matt, of working with the safety team for the betterment of the good right there.
So I went Shamu in a whale tank, and you went with a national TV show.
I don't get to go places, Matt. This is why you always give me guff, that you get to go see all the cool things we do, and I get to show people how we make them back here.
That's a really cool story about back here in Brookings, Justin.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah, thanks. I'll save that one and tell it at parties. How about is that party-worthy story there?
Might go over better.
But you did get I Survived a Shamu t-shirt with it all, didn't you?
Oh, it was one of those things. I showed up there, and the first thing I asked was to the whale trainer, I said, well, where is Shamu? And he looked at me just, you know, dead in my face and said, Shamu's been dead for like 6 years. Jeez, like, are you going to tell me Santa isn't real next is what I had said? And it was just, and then the one morning they had said, you know, make sure not to drop anything into the whale tank. Because Ulysses is out there, and Ulysses was their biggest whale they had at the time, and apparently wasn't getting along well with the other whales, and it was going to be, you know, out in front of the show tank. So I'm just glad that he came out and said, don't drop any tools in there, because apparently that was top priority.
And we don't need a knife fight right there with Ulysses.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah, that was a very interesting time, though. It's very, very sad to find out that Shamu's been dead for a while.
Yeah, Andy told you that Santa Claus wasn't real. Yeah. Imagine that. Just graduated college and finally learned something like that.
I should have done a spoiler alert to any moms or dads listening to this in a car driving right now. They should have muted before I'd said A, Shamu's dead, or B, Santa isn't real.
Should we tell them the Easter Bunny's not real too while we're at it?
Wait,
let's
what?
Just destroy all children's hopes and dreams while we're working.
We're gonna put a disclaimer on this episode, and it's going to have nothing to do with anything terrible.
Hang on, I'm in PR. We can spin this. We're telling people Santa Claus isn't real so that people know that if somebody's breaking into their house on Christmas night, it's not Santa trying to give you gifts. This is a safety spin here. We can spin this. I don't know about the Easter Bunny. That's just so nobody's trying to break in the spring and throw eggs at your house. That's not a positive interaction either.
All right, so back to safety. Is there anything else you guys wanted to bring up? We had a question we wanted to ask. What is your guys' favorite parts about working here? You can elaborate on that. I feel like I've gotten a little bit of that already from some of the conversations we had, but is there any other part of your job that you enjoy doing that you want to mention?
Yeah, bonus if you say this podcast.
Listening to this podcast?
And crickets.
Where's the cash for that one? No, in all seriousness, the best part about this job is working with the people that we work with. I mean, I think we have in our safety staff, we have a fabulous group of individuals. I am so fortunate every day to come into work that I get to work with these fine gentlemen and ladies that give us good feedback on way that we can improve our safety culture and safety programs here at Daktronics. But also tied to that is actually the employees, the supervisors, the managers. Everybody is wanting to learn. They're willing to learn. They want to be involved with everything we do from a safety standpoint. That is very rare that we get to see that. And it's awesome that I get to come to work every day and get to see that. And also to torment and torture Joel DeBoer and Scott Peterson on a daily basis.
There it is.
I already know Scott's answer. It's working with the intern supervisors.
That's where I was headed. You know, I think everything Albert said is on point. If I can break it down to me personally, there's a certain aspect of fulfillment when you get a call from a guy on a job site who's maybe in Erie, Pennsylvania, and we have a problem. How can you help me? Whether anybody knows it or not, I put my phone number in every hard hat that we give out. So if they're on a job site, something happens, who do I call? They can take their hard hat off. They can call me. My number's right there. They don't have to search for it. So I think, you know, that's fulfilling. And yes, the interns. You know, it's great to bring in these 20-something-year-old, I call them kids because they're the same age as my kids, but they come in and they're ready to conquer the world, and we throw a bunch of information at them, and then we watch them grow and build and become employees here. And that's fantastic to be able to see.
I just know that's good from a intern supervisor standpoint, the fact that you guys establish that with them when they're here for orientation and they're out on the road with things. I know they always talk about how much they love and feel confident calling you guys and not thinking you're going to be mad or upset that you're actually going to help them out if something were to happen. So I know they appreciate it.
Yeah.
And really, that's the interaction we want to have with them. If they think we're going to turn around and berate them for not following a rule or not understanding something that they received from training, that's not the interaction that any of us in our staff wants them to have. We want to be seen as a resource. If we're seen as a resource, we're going to identify more hazards. We're going to come up with more solutions. We're going to get more engagement from everybody. And, you know, then we're in really good shape.
Joel's just nodding over there. What's your favorite part of it, Joel?
People ask me sometimes what I do. Well, if you watch me during the day, it looks like I walk around and talk a lot. And people say, well, I'd like your job. I said, I don't think you can handle my job. It takes a lot out of you because you're busy nonstop.
Yeah.
It's from the time you get here till the time you go home. You don't walk anywhere through the factory, but you're not going to see something. Or people come up and approach us. That's the other thing that we didn't touch on. As a safety department, we feel good when our employees feel free to come up and talk to us. We're doing our job when we know that they'll stop us and say, hey, we saw this, or what do you think about that? And we just smile because we like to say, that's our job. That's what we do. And we walk around and talk to people and we help them.
And that goes back to what Albert said. Everybody at Daktronics is part of the safety team and involved in safety, right?
Yes.
So you haven't been in safety for 12 years or 6 years since you've been at DAC. You've been in safety for 12 years since you started.
Yes.
So one of the things that Albert touched on earlier is that we teach the OSHA classes, the 30s and the 10s, to our people, and everybody is responsible for safety. When we bring contractors on site, whether they're doing work out in the parking lots or they're Kleitz Electric or whoever is installing wiring or anything like that, we do a safety briefing with them as well. And when they mess up, we get phone calls from the people who've been through our trainings and who understand that you're not supposed to be on the second step or the top step of the ladder, but they are, and they'll call us right away and say, you need to come see this. And so the education part is growing and it's getting stronger, and I think everybody in our group appreciates that because we know they're looking now.
And it's probably not even coming from a place of we getting somebody in trouble for not doing the right thing. It's coming from a place of I don't want to have to be the first responder after they fall off of that and hurt themselves or land on their head.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, that's really also comes back down to it is, you know, we're community-based. Mm-hmm. We work with these individuals. They might be our neighbors.
Right.
And we do care about our neighbors, our friends, and our community. And what we can do to make sure that they're safe and give everybody those fundamentals is awesome. And it does that what we need to do.
No, I like that about the thought that people are, willing to come up and talk to you guys. Like you were saying, if they see you walking around, they talk to you and not just shudder and go hide behind something because they're like, oh, no, Joel's coming by. But
well, yeah. I guess that's true most of the time.
Some people might do that, but it might not be anything safety related.
They turn and go the other way.
Here he comes.
Oh, I'm on the phone. Joel's coming.
Oh, look, this is ringing. I got to go.
Yeah, so one other thing, we talk about engagement and how we as an organization can help others when we look at safety is we're very fortunate, Daktronics, that we're part of what's called the East River Safety Coalition. And it is a group of employers located East River, go figure, you never get that from the title. But it's companies that are located in this region where we get together and we talk about safety and how safety is applied in our organizations and what we can learn from each other. Because the one thing about safety is, you know, we always got to learn. You know, there might be new standards that come in play, and it might affect how Joel looks at safety in his factory, or might deal with how Scott handles an overhead crane in his area of the world. But we have this opportunity as a company to meet with other companies, discuss how we handle safety and where we can improve, because safety always is an improvement. And like we said, you know, if we can gather some of this information, we can pass it along to these other companies that they can protect their employees, and their employees go home and they do things safely, we're doing something pretty good. And so I like that fundamentals of what we've done as an organization that way too.
All right. So thanks for coming on, guys. You shared shared with us some information about safety and how it's actually done at Daktronics and the multiple levels and different areas you have to think about. A lot that we didn't think about. I know there's things that Matt didn't think about, but me as well. There's plenty of things I wasn't aware of there. Matt's laughing at me a little bit. That's okay. Matt wanted to tell a quick story about how this episode came to be, how we ran into you guys in the lunchroom, and a quick 2-minute conversation turned into, you guys got to be on the podcast.
Well, I think it's, so we have a cafeteria here at our corporate office in Brookings, and it was going there for breakfast one morning, and I saw, I think it was old, you three were sitting with Justin
yeah.
at a table, all laughing, and it happened to be when I was looking at you, so I immediately got nervous about what you were laughing at, and then came back over to the table to talk with you guys, and I think Justin had just said, hey, we're gonna have them on a podcast to talk about safety, and so I was like, oh, great.
I think he instantly rolled his eyes and said, "Safety, we're gonna talk about safety on the podcast." Not really, but I had to give him a little grief there. But yeah, this Friday mornings is our breakfast meeting where we come to the cafeteria, we get breakfast, we sit down and ease our way into our Friday and start. We have a meeting, we work on social media, and these handsome gentlemen happened to be in the cafeteria at that time, and it was fate that brought us together to record this episode.
That was really dramatic. But yeah, but thank you guys, though, seriously, though, for coming on, because I know I always love running into you guys and talking about it. You guys always seem to be pretty full of energy and a pep in your step. So thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you. It was a great opportunity.
This was better than I anticipated.
I'll take that, Joel.
Thank you for listening to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. For more information, visit www.daktronics.com.